For brands in the digital age, content is the customer experience. That's why industry leaders like KFC, MailChimp, and BMW rely on the Contentful Composable Content Platform to easily create, collaborate, manage, and deliver content across all channels, resulting in meaningful customer experiences and significant business results. Ready to maximize your content's potential? Get started at Contentful.com. Contentful, where content drives business momentum.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, March 8th. I'm Cordelia James for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Alex Osola. Coming up on today's show, a new European law is pushing Apple to open up certain parts of its app ecosystem. We'll find out how the law could affect the rivalry between Apple and Google and what it means for users. From WSJ reporter Sam Schechner. And then, a Chinese government directive is expanding efforts to push U.S. technology out of the country and replace it with homegrown alternatives. WSJ China tech editor Lisa Lin tells us what that means for the American businesses that once dominated the Chinese market. But first, starting this week, the world's biggest tech companies have to comply with the European Union's Digital Markets Act. The new law aims to boost competition from smaller companies in digital advertising, online search, and app ecosystems. WSJ reporter Sam Schechner is here now to tell us how the law could affect Apple and even provide opportunities for Google. Sam, before we get into the tech companies, what exactly does this change mean for users in the EU? Could iPhone users see a Google Play Store on their phones anytime soon?
Google, I asked them that. They declined to comment, but they could. As part of this law, one of the things Apple is going to have to do is allow other ways to install apps around its app store. And they're permitting for now what they call alternative app marketplaces. And Google could very well create a version of the Play Store for iOS. Another thing that you're going to see if you're a smartphone user is more choice screens. Now, what's a choice screen? It's proactively telling a user, hey, you could change the default, say, for your browser, your internet browser. Would you like the Safari, which is Apple's built-in model, or would you like Google Chrome, or would you like Firefox? And they will go down. There'll be a whole list of choices. And that has the potential for changing the market share of browsers on certain devices. For now, most iPhone users use Safari. In the future, Chrome could end up taking a bigger share.
How could these changes affect Apple?
First of all, a lot of Apple's business is built around this integrated ecosystem. This new law opens that up and maybe makes iPhones a little less distinctive. But more concretely, I mean, the App Store itself is a big business for Apple. As part of the law, they're going to have to allow alternative in-app payment processors, and they won't get a cut of those transactions. Now, the details of how Apple is going to charge fees are already raising hackles among developers, so we'll have to see if that actually cuts into Apple's bottom line or not, but it certainly has the potential to.
What did Apple say about these changes?
Apple says that its integrated app ecosystem ensures users' security and privacy, and that the legislation is forcing them to make changes to that system. They've lobbied, actually, heavily against some of these rules. They say that sideloading, allowing apps that aren't coming through their app store, is a security risk and that it risks bringing malware to iPhones.
How could this new law potentially benefit Google?
Well, Google lobbied for certain elements of the law. You know, they already allow so-called sideloading, meaning installing apps outside of their Play Store. They like playing in that sort of more open environment. And so by forcing Apple to allow alternative stores, it creates more of an opportunity for Google to get a foothold for, say, some of its own apps and some of its own services.
What has Google said about this law?
Google told me that they've always believed in offering people and businesses choice and competing on the merits of their services. If you read between the lines, that's saying they kind of like certain elements of this law. Google has also said there's certain other parts of the law that aren't so rosy for them that are already going to cause big changes to the way the search engine works in Europe and could cut somewhat into their revenue if users start looking at restaurant listings through some of the third parties who are going to get more prominence on Google now instead of clicking on Google's ads.
What happens if a company doesn't comply?
Under the law, companies could face fines of up to 10% of their global annual revenue if they're found to be in violation of the rules. And if they're found to be in repeated violation of the rules, that can go up to 20%. So we're talking about fines that could rise into the tens of billions of dollars for these large companies.
That was our reporter, Sam Schechner. For more of your daily tech headlines, check out TNB Tech Minute. That's right here in the Tech News Briefing feed. Coming up, why Chinese leaders are looking to sever their relationship with American tech companies. That's after the break.
What is dedication?
People ask, how your children learn how to ride a bike and you didn't. I just created an environment where they taught themselves and all I had to do was be there.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In 2022, the Chinese government issued a top-secret directive called Document 79 that expanded the drive to push U.S. tech out of the country's state-owned companies. Some have referred to the effort as Delete A for Delete America. WSJ China tech editor Lisa Lin joins us now with more on Beijing's push to sever the country's relationship with American tech. Lisa, take us back to September 2022, when Chinese officials issued Document 79. What was going on with U.S. exports to China at that time?
Yeah, September 2022 really was a pivotal moment for U.S.-China tech relations, because in early September, U.S. officials essentially told NVIDIA not to sell two of their most advanced chips to China. And subsequently, that export control ban was expanded to all of China. So by October 2022, the U.S. had pretty much dealt a big blow to China that really changed the tenor of the whole relationship. And Chinese companies and any Chinese entities were not allowed to buy advanced computing chips or advanced semiconductor equipment from U.S. companies.
What exactly is Document 79?
Document 79, from what we understand from sources, is this mysterious document that came from senior Chinese officials telling Chinese state-owned enterprises to wean themselves of U.S. technology, particularly in aspects such as enterprise software.
So the goal is to squeeze U.S. technology out of China. How much U.S. technology is being used in China anyway?
It depends on which time period. If you take yourself back to around 2010, that would probably have been the heyday of U.S. technology within China. You saw U.S. companies making everything from servers to the operating systems that ran on desktops, to the PCs that were sold in China, and to the chips as well that were sold there. Fast forward to today, a lot of that market's gone. And now this localization push has also pushed up other manufacturers such as Tsinghua Tongfang, which you don't hear outside of China because they don't really sell outside of China, but they're huge in China because of this government push to localize and this government push to use devices that are China brands. At this point, chips and smartphones are the two big areas where you still see pretty prominent US players. So for the smartphone industry, Apple is a huge player there. They essentially dominate the high-end smartphone market in China. And when it comes to chips, a lot of chips that are sold in China still come from the likes of Intel and AMD, although many Chinese companies are also catching up there.
How are some American tech companies seeing an impact?
The American tech companies have lost a huge client in China, which is the government market in China. Today, procurement documents often refer a Chinese alternative when they buy servers and Chinese chips, for example, from Huawei.
We should note the State-Owned Asset Supervision and Administration Commission and the country's national cabinet didn't respond to requests for comment. Lisa, why is China looking to sever ties with American tech now?
So the localization push has been ongoing for a while, but in the past, China has never been very successful because even though they've been pushing their companies to use local products, the local products just haven't been up to scratch, or there's just no big impetus to change out of Western technology, something that works. What really changed the calculus in this was when Trump put Huawei on the entity list and also on export controls. So Huawei couldn't get their hands on a lot of US technology and shook up the market. And many Chinese companies decided they didn't want to be the next Huawei. And since then, a lot of Chinese companies have also been shifting their orders. And these are not just state-owned enterprises. These are private enterprises. The other big reason why China is doing this is because of national security concerns. Because in 2013, through Edward Snowden, China found out that the US had been tapping into a lot of Chinese mobile phone communications, as well as some of its most prestigious universities. And they basically saw the reason for that as being the hardware and the US technology that they used.
What's the overall goal in doing this?
The overall goal from China's standpoint is to be self-sufficient, because they don't ever want to have a situation where, just like Huawei, they're cut off from US technology overnight. And in Huawei's case, their high-end smartphone business was essentially decimated because they couldn't find the chips or purchase the chips from US companies to make those smartphones.
That was our China tech editor, Lisa Lin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Cordelia James, filling in for Alex Osola. Jessica Fenton and Michael Laval wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with our TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.